So today we're going to walk through a battle drill that this is a very exciting topic for me because it's so important. That does not mean I do it perfectly, though. I just want to say that up front. I come to this morning to you as one who teaches from the Word, as a fellow learner, working in progress along with you. Because what we're talking about today is the rudder of your life. Keeping control of the rudder of your life. That's the battle drill, and we're going to be opening up Proverbs 15 to start with. So let me introduce this before I read Proverbs 15, verses 1 through 7. So I was a soldier. I think many of you know that. Once upon a time, I was a soldier. But I was never a sailor, okay? So I've kayaked, I've canoed, I've, you know, been on boats and ships and vessels, whatever we call them. But I've never been a sailor. I do know, though, that the rudder is one of the most important components of any boat. The rudder allows the pilot to steer, control, and direct the vessel when out on the water. When that marine vessel is on mission, when it's doing what it's designed to do, which is not to be at dock, but to be out in the water, the rudder is very important. Now, in a small boat, a small sailboat, the rudder is controlled by a tiller, a long rod that allows the pilot to turn the rudder directly. That's a simple, reliable, and effective way of keeping control of the rudder. Now, if you want to get from point A to point B, then you must keep control of the rudder of your ship. Okay? So if you want to get to where you're going, you've got to keep control of the rudder of your ship. And now that may not be hard when there are calm waters, but from what I've read, it can be extremely difficult during storms. Now the same is true in life. I may not be a sailor, but when we start making the connections in everyday life, I'm approaching half a century of life experience, which for some of you makes me still wet around the ears. I understand that. For others of you, it makes me older than dirt. So depending upon your perspective, you know, we all bring some life experience to this conversation. As a Christian, you are not who you once were. And you're not yet who God has designed you to be. Point A is who you once were. You are not who you used to be. You are not that old person, that old self before Christ. That's point A. And you're not yet fully glorified, perfected in the presence of God. Point B. You're on this journey. You're on this destination. Somewhere in between, somewhere along this spectrum of somewhere between who you once were and who God intends for you to be. And when we look at our experiences, by the way we think about situations, by the way we respond to situations with our words and our actions, we could all probably agree that I'm somewhere in between. I'm not yet perfected and glorified. I sometimes have responses to situations. I sometimes say things and think things and do things that are not exactly what God would have me do. Okay, is that true? Because I want to know if anyone's already to point B and always has it together, I open the pulpit to you and I will sit under your feet and take copious notes. Okay, good. We're all in this together. We're somewhere between point A and B, which means that if you're not at the dock of point A and you're not in heaven with Jesus yet, you need to keep a firm control of the rudder of your ship if you plan on getting from point A to point B. And so now let's look at Proverbs 15, verses 1 to 7. As a good soldier of Jesus learning this battle drill of how to keep control of the rudder of your ship, the rudder of your life, we need to now get into the field manual. Okay, here we go. Proverbs 15, a gentle answer. Hear it right away. We're starting to hear about the rudder. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That's a sermon in itself. And really, the best way to teach verse 1 would be break up into small groups and go through case studies and examples of your neighbor says this, What do you say? Your coworker does this. How do you respond? Verse 2, the tongue. Oh, here's a reference to the rudder. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Here it is again, verse 4, a soothing tongue. Are you starting to understand what the rudder is here? A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. We can get a witness for that, I guarantee you. Every single person has had a tongue lashing before that has crushed the spirit. Verse 5, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. Great wealth is in the house of the righteous, but troubles in the income of the wicked. And here it is again, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. Oh, Father, as we now open up this teaching and learn how to live according to it, help us, Lord, help us apply and learn how we must control the tongue, our lips, so that our lives will lead to everlasting and not to destruction. Oh, Jesus, come and master us with your Holy Spirit now and teach us. Amen. Amen. So the second action step of a good soldier of Jesus is to first know the field manual. What does the Bible say? And the second is to train together as one unit. We must learn this together and train accordingly. We've got to practice right here because we gather to scatter. We've got to learn how to control the rudder of our ship, the rudder of our life together, so that we can then do it well in our communities and beyond. If you want to be who God predestined you to become, which is according to Romans 8:29, conformed to the image of his son. If you want to know why God chose you, what did God choose you for? He chose you, he predestined you, according to Paul's letter of Romans, to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the journey to becoming fully, point B. Okay, that's the journey we're on. Then we must keep control of the rudder of our lives. You are under construction. I am under construction. Sometimes my life is no better than the I-70 interchange in Indianapolis. And sometimes my rudder is what makes me that shut down and that broken. But here's the good news. Even as I apply myself to Christian discipleship, of becoming more like Jesus through discipleship, reading the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, praying, gathering regularly with my church family, being a part of a weekly gathering, even as I, with fear and trembling, work out my salvation, here's the good news of Philippians 2:13. And this is the good news for all of you. This is why you're not disqualified, even if your life right now feels like the I-70 shut down in Indianapolis. Even if you feel disqualified and shut down because of the things you've said, here's the good news. God is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And what is his good pleasure? That you would look like Jesus. That you would be conformed to the image of his son, that when people saw you, when they read your post, when they read your text messages, when they read your emails, when they listened to you, whether it's behind closed doors or up front, that they would read and hear Jesus. And we're not there yet. But his desire, his good pleasure, is that you would be more and more pleasing to him with your tongue, with your words, with your thoughts. And so I say that again, we're all under construction. And there are many dangers, toils, and snares. Right, Brother Bob? Many, many dangers, toils, and snares. That's a line from Amazing Grace, Bob's favorite line from that beautiful song. This journey of becoming like Christ, what we call the Christian journey, is not always easy. And do you know where one of the greatest dangers to your journey is? It's no farther than your next breath. It's right here. It's your tongue. That's the rudder. The long, slow obedience of daily decision-making to become like Jesus Christ through both the calm waters, don't we love the calm waters? Through both the calm waters and the stormy seas of life requires you to keep a firm control on the rudder of your life. Sometimes when it's hard, we are so diligent. We watch our words. We're so careful with what we say to our children or our spouse. We know we're angry. We know there's something going on. We know there's a storm. So we are like extra vigilant. And then things are going great and we get lazy with our words. We get flippant and sarcastic and hurtful. We need to be vigilant with our words, not just at work where we can get fired for saying the wrong thing, but we need to be extra vigilant with those that we love and are closest to us, because that's where your words have the most power. Because the things you say have the power of life or death in them. We must keep control of our tongue if we're to fulfill God's good pleasure for our lives. It's that simple. And that is both our responsibility and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It's a both and, just like all of the Christian life is. So we learn from Proverbs 15, verses 1 to 7, three things. I'll go through these real quick. Verses 1 to 2, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, because the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Okay, second thing we learn in verse 4 is that a soothing tongue is a tree of life. That means you have life in the tongue, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. Life or death resides in the tongue. And that's, by the way, Proverbs 18:21. I've said that multiple times now, but let me tell you, that's not me making that up. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So you see how verse 4 from today's proverb connects with Proverbs 18:21, the tree of life, and then eat of its fruit. If you want to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, then control your tongue. Does that make sense? And then the third thing today's proverb teaches us from verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. Now this may be common sense to you, you might know this already, but we're not actually talking about the physical muscle of lips and tongue. We're talking about your words. Okay, now originally in the context of talking about your spoken words, but you have to now include everything you write with your thumbs or your fingertips or with a pen or a pencil, a keyboard, talk to text, whatever it is you are speaking out in whatever medium you're using, that's what our scripture is talking about. Jesus said in Matthew 12, let's get to the heart of this. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verses 33 to 37, a very important truth about your words. And once again, this includes what you text, this includes what you post, this includes how you comment on your favorite news network. Matthew 12, 33 to 37, let me open up my scriptures to you so I can read this straight from the Bible to you. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. It's talking about your life. For the tree is known by its fruit. Do you see the connections again between what in Proverbs we're seeing about the tree of life and its fruit? Here Jesus is talking about what kind of tree are you and what kind of fruit? Okay? Amazing connections. Jesus continues in verse 34. You brood of vipers. He's talking to church religious people here. He's talking to the Pharisees, which we're closer in today's world to the religious people than those that we want to see saved with the gospel. And so we need to pay attention when Jesus is getting hard on very good religious people, that we got to make sure we're listening, okay? And it's hard to hear, but we just need to have our hearts open to what Jesus has to say. Okay, so pay attention here. This is for you. Jesus is talking to you right now. He's talking to me. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What is Jesus talking about there? He has said over and over again that a good tree can only bear good fruit. Jesus is saying that your words reveal your heart. What you talk about, what you meditate upon, what comes out of you reveals your heart. It reveals the kind of tree you are. It is an everyday reality that we talk and write about what is important to us. Okay? We all do this. Whatever's important to you, you talk about. It's also true that our idle and thoughtless words reflect what is hidden in our hearts, sometimes even from ourselves. That's kind of the scary part, because often churchgoers, we don't intend to be hypocrites, but sometimes we have just done such a good job of hiding even from ourselves these things in our hearts. And our idle and thoughtless words and those things that are squeezed out of us by circumstances reveal that that too is in me. That anger, that pettiness, that is inside of me. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Do your words reveal that your heart belongs to Jesus? Who or what rules your heart? Who or what rules your heart? Because your tongue has the power of life or death. And so here's the battle drill. So train yourself to submit your tongue to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And be vigilant in what you say. The half-brother of Jesus, James, said this in verse 119. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So this battle drill complements the battle drill we just did on being slow to anger. They're grouped together. And so now let's take the third action step. Because if our words reflect who is Lord of our life, then we must seek to keep a firm control of the tiller or the rudder of our ship by remembering that our desire is to please God with our thoughts, our words, our text, our post, our letters, our emails, what we say to the person at work, what we say to our kid at home, what we say to our mom or dad, how we talk to the stranger, the neighbor. God cares deeply about your tongue, because there's life or death in your tongue. You're either a tree of life for people to eat from the fruit of, or you're not. You're eating from something else. So here we go. Action step three. Seek the commander's approval. And everybody's been wondering, when am I finally going to get to James chapter 3? I know you've been wondering. Here we are. I've been saving you. You're all like, you should have told us this from the beginning. James chapter 3. Well, I've been holding back James for you because James is a good 2x4. All right, so I've been warming you up for James because you weren't ready for him in the beginning. Here we go. James. Love you, James. You're so good to me. Okay, here we go. James is like the Proverbs of the New Testament, by the way. That's how I kind of think of James. Okay, here we go. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many ways. This is James 3, by the way. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Let's do it. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Although they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Okay, you got it now? We made the connection? I didn't just make this stuff up. From the beginning, I've been using biblical imagery. Now let's have some fun with James. Verse 5. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. Do you hear that? Point A to point B, you're not what you once were. You're not yet who you're supposed to be. You're on the course of your life where God's good pleasure is for you to be conformed to the image of Jesus, and your tongue is that which sets the course. So keep a firm control of the rudder, your tongue. Is it all starting to come together? I hope. Verse 7. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Is there any hope? It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Can I get a witness? Man, it's not the kind of testimonies we want to hear up there, though, right? Oh, my goodness, but it's true. Lord, have mercy. Verse 9, with it, this with our tongue, with the rudder of our ship, we bless our Lord and Father. That's what we were just doing for half an hour, singing songs, blessing the Lord, okay? With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse one another, who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and curses. My brethren, though these things ought not to be this way. And then, listen to this. Same, now he makes the connection back to Jesus, and he makes the connection back to Solomon in Proverbs. All right, this is awesome. I'm just total geeking out this week, okay? I'm trying to keep this simple for you, but there is so much in the Bible. Listen to this. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Rhetorical answer, absolutely not. That's ridiculous, right? And then verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? Or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Whew. And he keeps going and going, but you don't want me to keep going and going. So let's see what we can learn from this. Do you see the connections, by the way, between what Jesus said in Matthew 12 and what Solomon said in Proverbs, and how he's connecting the tree of life and its fruit, and Jesus is talking about, you know, what kind of tree or what kind of plant are you and what kind of fruit do you have? Man, this is good. When you yoke together with Jesus, when you abide in the vine of Jesus, because God is the vine dresser, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and upon every branch that abides in the vine, it will bear much fruit. Okay, you know this. This is the imagery of John 15, the yoke imagery of Matthew 11. It's these images of relationship, of intimacy, of union. Okay, that's what this is all coming back to. When you yoke together with Jesus' teaching about our words proceeding from our hearts and James's teaching about our tongues, and you hear them through the lens of the ancient wisdom of Proverbs, then you know that it's all about whether you are a wise person or a fool. That's the language of Proverbs. You're either wise or a fool, or even worse, a mocker. So three categories of people in the whole book of Proverbs. Your tongue reveals which of those camps you fall into. Jesus made it very clear. Matthew 7, verse 24, from the Sermon on the Mount. I highly encourage you to read the Sermon on the Mount often. Jesus says, let me pull up Jesus here. Let me show you so you can read it from the Word. These are not my words. These are Jesus' words. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then Jesus contrasts that with the foolish man in verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine, it's not about whether they go to church or they listen to Moody or Caleb or Air One. It's about this. Those are good things. Please do all those things. Listen to the word daily. Listen to good Christian music and broadcasting. But listen, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Hearing is not enough. James is all about this. Doing shows me that you're hearing. And your tongue reveals the truth about your heart. Your tongue, your spoken and written words, so your tongue, your thumbs, your fingertips, you know, all those things reveal the truth about whether you are wise or foolish. And here it is. Here's to me the most important thing, the truth of it all, the bottom, the anchor, the foundation. It reveals whether or not Jesus is Lord of your life or not. Now, I'm not being legalistic. You don't lose your salvation for slipping with your tongue, all right? But I am saying, just like Jesus says, if you don't forgive these people, neither are you forgiven. He's saying here, essentially the truth. Your tongue reveals the truth about who you are. Just like your ability to forgive someone reveals the truth about whether you're forgiven. Over and over again, we see this in Scripture. It's not enough to know these things. In the biblical worldview, knowing is doing. It's acting. Bless you, bless you. So let's do a heart check. I got three scriptures here I want to do a heart check with you. And of course, to do a heart check on your tongue, we're going to turn to Paul. Okay, so let's turn to Paul now. Okay, time for a heart check. Ephesians 4. Okay, we're going to go through these really quick. Ephesians 4, verse 29 to 32. We see this is the fourth example if you are living the spirit life or the new life of a Christian. And we actually just talked about a couple of these. We talked about giving an honest report. We talked about being slow to anger. Okay, now here, Ephesians 4, 29 to 32 is another one of the examples of whether or not you are listening to the Spirit. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. In other words, be a tree of life. According to the need of the moment, seize the moment with your tongue. Say what needs to be said to build up others, to be a tree of life, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You have the power of life or death in every single moment, whether you speak or not. If you choose to speak, then choose to build the person up. Choose to bring life, not death. Be slow to anger. Verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Once again, the proof in the pudding of whether or not you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior are these things. Do a heart check. Be honest with yourself. Don't be deceived and find yourself in hell because you had religion, but you didn't have Jesus. Sitting in this pew, just like sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car, sitting in this pew doesn't make you a Christian. You need a relationship with Jesus. How do you know if you have a relationship with Jesus? Do a heart check. It's not those who hear the word, but those who do the word that belong to him and are his Lord, that he is their Lord. Okay, next heart check. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Colossians, the next book over, two books over, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 3, verses 8 through 11. Here we go. But now you also, put on the new self. This is this whole passage about if you're a Christian, if you're born again, if you have the Holy Spirit, you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and here's what's this? Abusive speech from your mouth. Wow, God really must care about this. Verse 9, do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Okay, that's give a fault, that's give an honest report. We've talked about that. And then verse 10, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Wow, there's God's good pleasure that you be conformed to the image of Jesus. Verse 11, a renewal, okay, in which, and this is the cool thing about here, because we're all under the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to make cultural distinctions between us because, according to verse 11, in the Spirit, there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Don't tell me that you can't control your temper because you're an Italian. Are you a born-again believer or not? Stop blaming your ancestry. I'm Irish. I have to drink Jameson and curse a lot and get angry. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's not your birthright. You are born again in Jesus. You don't have to be an angry drunk. Well, my parents were. My grandparents were. Well, pray for them. You be different in Jesus. You're not a slave to your ancestry. That's the same as being a slave to sin. You are free in Christ because Christ is in all. Christ is all. So you're either in slavery to your past and to your ancestors before you, or you're free in Jesus. And your tongue reveals which is true. And then, oh, I skipped one. I'm sorry. Ephesians 5:1. Let's go back to Ephesians, and we'll do this real quick, and then we're going to keep going. This is the third one. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and no and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And it goes on. So much in the Bible. And brothers and sisters, there is no contradiction between the teaching of Paul and James. Paul's exhortations of how we are and are not to use our tongues fully agree with James's teaching that no one can tame the tongue. And this is, we're all coming to the end here. We're moving towards the last action point. But I want you to hear this. This is the conundrum of the both and, that I am both working out my salvation with fear and trembling, and it is God who is at work in me and through me to bring about his good pleasure. Okay, so hang in there with me, because this is not impossible for God, even if it is for you. But you can't be a victim. And you can't declare that you're a victim because you've been doing this your whole life and you can't train an old dog new tricks. It's a lie from the devil. Okay, your brain has not been calcified. It can still be transformed by, you can still be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I believe that. James said that no one can tame the tongue, that's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Here it is. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives when Christ takes rightful place on the throne of our hearts. Our words are transformed by the work of God's grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have been enlisted to be a part of the mission of God to build up others. You have been saved for a mission. And your tongue reflects that. And when we live on mission for God, then our tongues come under his dominion. Have you ever heard this before? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Have you heard that before? You've been bought with a price. Your body and its members no longer are your own. Who do they belong to? They belong to Jesus, because he purchased you through his blood on the cross. That's 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20. Brothers and sisters, you are meant to be a temple a place of right sacrifices unto God. And that is a daily activity, a daily sacrifice, so that you can know what God expects of you as you seek to live your life on mission for His glory. God calls us to do the work. And okay, and here's your cross. You want to know what cross you have to carry here? Here it is. Sacrifice our emotions and our agendas so that our tongues are not mastered by them, but by His good pleasure for our lives. Talk about a cross to bear. I'd rather carry 100-pound wood around. That's easier than having to subject my emotions and my feelings and my anger and my quick-wittedness and my love language of sarcasm to the Lord. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, because of what Christ has done for you, to present your bodies, which includes your tongue, as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's Romans 12, 1 to 2. We know these things. We know we're supposed to carry a cross. We know we're supposed to be in the yoke of Jesus. We know we're supposed to abide in the vine. We know we're supposed to live under the rule of the Holy Spirit. We know that Christ is supposed to be on the throne of our hearts. But do we include our tongue in the lordship of Christ? Because that is what your tongue reveals. Your life, including your tongue, come under the lordship of Christ so that you may be a priest, so that you may be a spiritual house of worship through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means to live on mission. And that's where we conclude. Action step 4, live on mission. You must be on mission. In fact, this is easier on mission than it is when you're idle at dock. Because while a ship or a military vessel like a battleship may feel safer at dock in a nice safe harbor, it's not what it was designed to do. You are not designed to sit in a safe harbor. You're designed to be on mission. That's what you were saved for. That's what you've been enlisted for. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which Christ prepared in advance for you to sail in, to walk in, to live for. Do you know when a rudder is useless? When it's idle at dock. A rudder is absolutely useless. It's idle. It's without purpose when it's at dock. I don't know what your journey between point A and point B has been like in the past. How much of it has been calm waters and how much of it has been stormy seas. But it's time to Charlie Mike. It's time to undock yourself and continue the mission. It's time to set sail. Because like at Pearl Harbor, a battleship at dock is nothing more than an easy target. And that idle tongue can do much damage. If we're to live on mission, then our words must be used to advance the kingdom of God, to spur one another on towards good works, to build up the body of Christ, to encourage one another. And if we know the mission and we know our assignment in the mission, we're to be trained to respond in every circumstance to advance the kingdom of God with our words. So today, this morning, as we send you out, Pastor Ken, you and the team can come on up. Each of us is being challenged to set sail on the next leg of the course. Your life is not over. There's still breath in your lungs. Nothing you have done in the past has disqualified you. You can come to the altar today and ask for forgiveness. You can submit your tongue to the Lord. You can submit your thumbs to the Lord. You can submit every member of your body to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness and ask Him to be Lord of all. Paul testified near the end of his journey in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 8. Paul said to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. And some of that was probably against himself and the thorns in his flesh. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The only way to get to the finish line of your life, the only way to get to point B of Christ's likeness is to undock yourself from whatever is paralyzing you. What is paralyzing you from living on mission? From taking Jesus at his word and believing him for his promises? What has you docked? It's time to set the sail out. It's time to set the sail out and let the Holy Spirit get you out of that safe harbor. Get out on mission. You must be vigilant with your rudder to do so. And with your sails full, your hand firmly keeping control of that rudder, you will live on mission with that destination being Christ-likeness. He will bring you to completion. That's Philippians 1:6. That's the promise of God. Maybe you've gotten comfortable at the dock. Maybe you got one hand on the tiller and a drink in the other hand, and you just like telling stories about the days you were out at open sea. And you're perfectly fine just sitting in that docked boat, one hand on the tiller, remembering the storms, remembering the days, while you throw some back and tell stories. Good sweet tea, I bet. Maybe you've had too many storms and you're traumatized and you can't even imagine ever sharing your faith with someone again. You don't want to go back out there. It's a war out there and you're scared. Brothers and sisters, as long as there's breath in your lungs, you're called to undock yourself. Set your sails. And Charlie Mike, I'm going to give us one last verse. Paul said this at the very near the, Paul was sailing into a very dark season of his life. In fact, it's the season that would lead to his martyrdom. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul says to a group of people, his church, his people that loved him, and he said to them, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel and the grace of God. Never forget that it may feel safe to sit at the dock in a safe harbor. But that's not God's best for your life. That's not what God created and saved you for. You've been enlisted by God to be a soldier of Jesus, to live on mission for his glory, and that is for your good. And so respond today. Bring yourself and bring all that you have to him. And don't leave this place emotionally docked. Don't leave this place controlled by your past. Leave this place with Christ, the mighty physician, the wonderful counselor. Leave this place with him sitting right there with you, teaching you and helping you, because this is his good pleasure for your life, not to do it alone, but to do it with him. So, Father, as we respond in song, we ask that you would help us to not be fools and mockers, but to be wise and to respond to your word, not with a mental assent, but with action. Forgive us of the times that we have spoken and written and done things that have not been pleasing to you, when we haven't used the members of this body to build up your kingdom. Forgive us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, and help us to respond as you have convicted us. In Jesus' name, amen.